Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. Also, I'd like to thank you all for downloading this program later. Today, we're going to be studying from the book of Matthew, and we're going to be studying verses 1 through 13. But before we begin, let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the lesson that we're about to teach, Lord. Make these words be your word, Lord Jesus Christ, not my own. And let whoever this message goes out to be touched by it and understand what your meaning of forgiveness is. So we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn with me now to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is better, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic man, "Arise and take up your bed and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given much power to men. And you see, why would the scribes be so critical for Jesus telling this man his sins are forgiven? One thing, by this time in the Jewish religion, they depended a lot on the Talmud, which they still do today, but according to the Talmud, they put all these chains of laws upon themselves, and so here Jesus is forgiving this man of his sin. In their minds, it wasn't a glory thing happening, because if this man was a sinner, tell him he is forgiven of his sins, including the Son of Man. Well, again, Jesus telling him, which is better, get up and walk, or your sins are forgiven, they couldn't answer him. Obviously, the answer would be, your sins are forgiven. But then Jesus went even further to show them that he, the Son of Man, who was mentioned in the Torah many times, what he was going to do upon the earth when he came. He healed the man who could not walk. And you see, these scribes and Pharisees, Torah as well, and knew the Torah as well as Jesus did, even though Jesus, as God the Father, did and was the author of their Torah. And they knew exactly who he was when he began forgiving sins, healing the sick, and raising up the dead, because they read it right there in the Torah, and only the Messiah could do it. But why would they not accept him? Because they made up their own religion on themselves. Not the Jewish religion, I would say, because don't get me wrong, because it was God that formed the Jewish people, the children of Israel, the tribe of Judah, because the tribe of Judah was the Jewish people, right? And they had all the tribes with them as well. Okay. So what happened within their own body, they developed their own religion within the body. And the reason they began doing it, because after they were conquered by Babylon and lived under Persian rule, there was a fear among the Jews that God may punish them again if they started falling away from the Torah and they began worshiping other idols again. This time they decided, we're not going to have our people scattered all around the world again. We're going to, this time, stay true to God. However, by doing that, rather than staying true to the Torah, the scribes and the Pharisees began writing the Talmud. And they began writing things that weren't in the Torah, but somehow they thought if they added things to it, this would keep their people together. Well, by doing this, they worshiped the religion they made up for themselves, and when the truth came out, which was Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, they fought it, even though they knew full well who he was. They could not let go of that religion. And many people who in the church, we could say the same thing. There are people who say they worship Jesus Christ, know who Jesus is, will even say he's the leader of their church, but yet their own denomination matters more to them. I could tell you a fact. When I was asked to preach at this little independent church one time, because the pastor was having trouble because he was having these strokes, and they needed someone to fill in for this pastor. Now, I am not an independent Baptist, nor part of the Baptist denomination. A friend asked me to. He was asking other people to fill in for the pastor until they found another independent pastor to permanently preach in the church. Well, I preached there a few times. All went well. And the last time I preached there, this one woman was about to come up to the altar and pray and ask God for her forgiveness of her sins, because she was really touched by the sermon that the Lord had given me. Well, before she got up there, the pastor of that church stood up there right in front of everyone and said, "I want to know, is this a Baptist church?" There was silence in the church because people were wondering, what was he getting at? He would ask the same question a few more times until his congregation said yes. And he says, "Well, I'm not going to come to this church if we're going to have people coming here to preach who aren't Baptist." Now, as he went on, this kind of destroyed what was happening right there. The spirit that was leading this girl to come up to the altar to repent of her sins, to dedicate her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped that day because for this pastor, defending the independent Baptist movement was more important. It was okay for me to preach at his church as long as one of his congregation wasn't going to go up there to the altar and ask God for forgiveness. If I had been an independent Baptist, that pastor of that church would not have minded if she had gone up there and asked Christ to come into her heart. But in his mind, I was the wrong messenger because I was not an independent Baptist, so therefore, she should not come up to the altar. Well, to make a long story short, that this woman and her family stopped coming to that church then, and soon the church would close its doors. Now, think about it. When it comes to bringing people to Christ, does it really matter what denomination you come from? Well, of course not. If we're supposed to be the one body of Christ, why do we let denominations lead us? We have to think about it before we start getting hard on our fellow Jews 2,000 years ago who knew who Jesus was, the Pharisees and the lawmakers, because if we start believing our denomination religion higher than anything else, we fall into the trap of chasing others away from the church because they're not following the rules of the denomination rather than receiving the forgiveness from the Holy Spirit come into their heart. And the whole point of forgiveness is that God sees that we had enough of living the old way that has happened to us, that we're going through. So we want to change in our life. And we want the Lord to come in with us to help us out. And he will do that. He will come. He will wash us clean. And now we are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not a new creature of Methodism. We're not a new creature in baptism. Baptist, not baptism, but that being a Baptist, I mean. We're not a new creature of being a Pentecostal or a Presbyterian or a Catholic. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. Now, baptism is a great thing, I have to say. When you baptize, you're dying from the spiritually and coming up a new creature in Christ. Okay, but being a Baptist, Independent Baptist, Calvary Baptist, whatever Baptist or a Methodist or a United Methodist or a Wesleyan or a Catholic or a Presbyterian or Episcopalian, I'm telling you, the names are not important. Christ is important, and being forgiven by Christ is more important than any denomination out there, and no denomination should hold someone back and deny someone, saying, you cannot come to the altar because the wrong messenger came up there and preached the gospel. Think about it this way, my friends. I would say every denomination probably praised the late Billy Graham as a great minister of the Lord. But in these denominations, I never saw Billy Graham invited to preach in a Methodist church. I've never seen Billy Graham asked to preach at a Catholic church. I never saw Billy Graham asked to preach in a Presbyterian church. I can go on and on, but I never have. And that should not separate us. It's true. Probably, I would say, a lot of people from different denominations went to hear him speak and came to Christ because the words Christ gave him to say to the people touch their hearts, but he would not be invited to those denominations just the same because Billy Graham was a Baptist. And I'm here to tell you right now, my friends, here on the Blog Talk Radio, that there is going to be no Baptist heaven, there is no Methodist heaven, there is no Catholic heaven, there is no Presbyterian or Episcopalian heaven or Pentecostal heaven. There's only one heaven, the people who are part of the body of Christ, because through Christ we have been adopted into being part of the children of Israel. Those who have accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior changed their thoughts and their hearts, like Jesus, have the same belief. Like Jesus, they're the ones who are living with our Father in heaven. You're living with him right now if you accepted him. I'm just warning, do not allow your denomination beliefs to interfere into this. And think about it, my friends, that many times we ourselves may deny someone who came to the Lord Jesus Christ because they come from the wrong denomination. We may have known someone out there who might have been a drunkard or a drug addict or an adulterer or et cetera, who might have been into Satan worship and all this other witchcraft and all this baloney that is out there in the world. Pity of their sins. But because of our denominations, we may deny that because we may have repented of their sins in the Catholic Church, or the Methodist Church, or the Baptist Church, or the Pentecostal Church, or the Church of God Church, or the Nazarene Church. And we say, well, they can't be really saved because they come from that denomination. But see, by doing that, we're putting God's judgment, we're putting the crown on our head. We're acting like we have the right to judge that person's heart and say, well, they're not saved because they didn't come from our denomination. They're still a lost sinner. No, they are not. We have no right to do that. If they have repented of their sin and stopped doing the acts of sin that caused them to be separate from God, that have hurt others in the past, they are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. No more are they that person who they once were. They are now a new creature who lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven them, and so should we. And I'm saying about forgiveness, forgiveness goes all the way around. We should forgive like Jesus forgave people. Forgive those or may have said things to us or things that they may not have known that we said to them that they're hurt by, that I would say if I ever hurt someone accidentally by telling a joke or teasing them a little bit, and they got mad at me and it hurt them really bad, I'm here on the air on this radio, on Blog Talk Radio, to say, I apologize. I never meant for you to be hurt. It was a joke. Maybe I was saying that, or I said something I didn't know I was saying that may have hurt your feelings. I am sorry that I said that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. And I do ask for your forgiveness. Okay? But thing of it is, forgive those. If you want to walk with Christ, you have to forgive. And for human beings, that is the hardest thing for you and I to ever do, is it not now? Think about it. If someone does something mean to us, and we get offended by it, or if someone has persecuted us, we want the Lord to tie that person down and throw darts at them and hit them up with balls, perhaps even have scorpions stab on them, have snakes come after them, poisonous snakes. We never think about asking God to forgive them or asking them, that person who's persecuting you, to, as a great revenge, is to know Jesus Christ, that they too will have the Saul of Tarsus experience on the road to Damascus, that their hearts would be so changed by so much by Jesus Christ that through your prayer you help slay an old person who they once were. You help kill them by praying to Jesus spiritually, and now they are alive now. They really are alive now, because now they're a fellow brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you can get along with them because they are serving the same Lord as you are. And they are now a brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can forgive them because you ask for forgiveness. And you can welcome them. And now they are a friend. And now they are your brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is a great thing, because think about it. The Lord, when he created mankind, he said it was good. God, when he looked upon us as a creation, made in his image, he said we were good. And he thought you and I were worth becoming a man and dying upon the cross to die for our sins so we may inherit the kingdom of heaven. He never wanted you and I to be a part. The Lord loves what he created in mankind. He loves us. He just doesn't want us to go out there and sin. And what I mean by sin, think about it. Someone might be out there saying, well, if I want to drink alcohol, I'm going to drink alcohol. But many times, think about it, my friend. If you're addicted to alcohol and you realize that you're not getting along with your wife, because of your alcohol problem, and you're not getting along with your children because of your alcohol problem, or your wife has left you and took the kids with you, think about it. If you had followed Jesus in the first place and let him run your life and let him bless your life and come into your heart, would your wife have left you? Would your kids have left you? Well, you know the answer. Of course not. They never would have left you. You would have still had him today. So what good is going out in the world without God then? When you go out in the world without God, you do selfish things that do affect other people. And most of the time, you find yourself alone. But when you walk with Christ Jesus, you're not alone. And when you walk with the body of Christ that he leads, we're not alone because you're not alone because you pray for one another. And that's what he wants you and I to do, is pray for one another. And if we have disagreements among the body, let them not be fierce disagreements, as the world has fierce disagreements. Sometimes we may have to agree to disagree, but in the end, you and I are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And let us not take a disagreement like people in the world take a disagreement and become enemies, because there should not be no enemy in the body of Christ. If you refuse to talk to a brother or sister in Christ because you're mad at them, my friend, in the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be no cold shoulder against anyone in the kingdom of heaven. And if we're living in the kingdom of heaven here on earth as well, we should be living by example here on earth as we will one day physically when we enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's go on to our next verse, verse 14. Then the disciple of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and tear is made worse. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins, or else the old wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put the wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." And both are preserved. Isn't that something? Both are preserved. Because the thing of it is, what he's saying, you have to have a new heart when you follow him. A new heart. Because if you make it halfway, just putting the patch on your heart and saying, "Well, I can live in the world and live for Christ at the same time," that's not going to happen. You have to have the full wineskin right there. You have to have a full change and let him take over for you to be completely whole and completely full. And that's how you do it when you walk with Christ Jesus. Let's go backwards onto verse 9 here. And let's read what he says more about forgiveness. "Then Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax office, and he said, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed. And so it was, Jesus sat at the table in the house, but behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard that, he said, 'Those who are well know need for a physician, but those who are sick, but go and learn that the means I desire, mercy, not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, for the unrighteous to repentance.'" And that's what we have to do, my friends. true, it is good that we come together in church on Sunday, but we have to have, but we have to go out into the world and bring people into Christ Jesus. True, many times in our, we get stuck in this, in our own traditions of a, in a church that we expect sinners to come into the church and repent. And many times, they're not coming into church. And we see people aren't coming into church. What does the church need to do? Hope that they come back into church one of these days? Well, hoping is a lot of baloney because you can hope for a lot of things. But if it does, if it's not happening, it's not happening. Think what the what Christ taught his disciples and apostles later on what to do after he rose from the dead. What were they supposed to be doing? Did they stick around in a synagogue and hopes that people will come and hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or did they go out in the world and preach in the streets about Jesus? They went out into the streets, did they not now? And many times, I would say what the church needs to be doing, all different denominations need to be doing, don't preach about your denominations to people to come to Christ. You're going to have evangelists to go out there in the streets and preach to the lost and preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there are evangelists out there who go out in the world today and talk to people to come to Christ, but we need a lot of them in the streets in the world. Europe, especially Europe, when we look at how much people have stopped coming to the church in Europe, I'm sure many of these churches thought, well, maybe one day they'll come back in and come back to Jesus. And it hasn't happened because a lot of churches in Europe don't have any people inside them anymore. But if they would have gone back and seen what Christ had the apostles do, starting from the book of Acts, if this ever happens, you bring out evangelists, and you have evangelists go out there and preach to those who need to hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he walked upon the earth, true, he did enter synagogues at times, and many of the synagogues got mad at him for telling them the truth, but he went out there and he spoke to anybody, whether it was on the street or in a field, he went out there and spoke because that's where the lost are. The lost need to hear the word. The lost has to know that there's forgiveness at hand. We are, even though Jesus went to heaven and said that at his right hand of his Father 2,000 years ago, remember, he is still alive today. And reason why he gave us his Holy Spirit was not to enjoy for ourselves. We're supposed to go out there and continue his ministry. His Holy Spirit is leading you and I to continue his ministry here upon the earth. We're supposed to be going out there and talking to those who are lost, who are not with the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't know him. And you could point out to their sins, but that's not going to work. They have to know that forgiveness is at hand, that there's something better than they're dealing with right now in their lives, that the Lord God wants to hold them. He wants to be in their life. He's interested in their life. He wants to help them. And the only way he can help them is if they would let him in so he can help them, so he can wash away their sins. Amen? Amen. So we have to be, when we go out there and preach to the world, we're supposed to be like Jesus was. Go out there to the unrighteous and talk to them. We are spiritual doctors, and we've done the prophesying, and we're bringing a light to them, a light that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're bringing this light to them so they may repent of their sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ so they will not have to die in their sins, because that is a terrible thing. When someone could say, I never knew you, and there was a church down the road, but the church didn't do nothing to invite me to come to their church, and the church did nothing to bring an evangelist to come to my door and tell me about who this Jesus is and why do I follow him? Well, that I would say they have a pretty good argument during Judgment Day to say, well, your church never told me about you. That's a good argument, don't you think, my friends? And that look makes you and I look bad. Because we are the ones who are supposed to be out there. Think about it. There wouldn't be such an epidemic of young people and people probably about my age being on drugs right now if they had Jesus in their heart, because, my goodness, why are they taking drugs? Because they're trying to fill the void. And every time they're trying to fill that void in their heart, they become an addict with their drugs. Well, we don't want them to become an addict. We want them to be filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and be free from an addiction to alcohol and drugs or whatever else that is has them addicted to things of the flesh out there. We want them to realize that they don't have to be a prisoner of that trap anymore, because Jesus has come to free it, because he has freed us 2,000 years ago. It's only up to you and I to take a hold of his yoke and let him carry away from our lives and let his love and joy enter into our hearts so we may live a holy life in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, we're going to stop here for today. I would say, my friends, that if you are looking for something out there in your own life, and you need, and you feel that the Lord God has touched you tonight, you need to find a church that has the Holy Spirit living within it. People who will welcome you as part of the body and welcome you, knowing that you've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins. And now you are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now can call you brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. For you are now saved, because once upon a time, you were once lost, but you are now found. You are now found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought this freedom to you. You are now walking in his footsteps now, free forever of the sin that has brought you despair, has destroyed your family. Things can be repaired yet again to you, my friend, because the Lord Jesus Christ is there for you. He has cleansed you of your sin. And no more are you that person who you once were. You are now a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, you are changed, and your sins are gone. You are now white as snow, as the day when you first came to the earth, when you were born, cleansed of your sins. Go and sin no more, and live a righteous life, and live a holy life, and live the way your Heavenly Father wants you to live. And I say this, my friend, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like to wish you all a good night, my friends, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.